We are in Mark chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 18. Mark chapter 2 and verse 18, and while we're turning there, I'll just pray, Lord, we want to hear your heart and the things that are in your heart. And when we say your heart, Lord, we mean your desires. And Lord, if we could even approach it on this front, when we have something in our heart, how we feel and how we are excited, and there's just something that is burdening us or exciting us or drawing forth the need for communion or to release what's in our heart, Lord, let us hear what's in your heart so that we can minister to that heart and be with you in a heart-to-heart way and a real person-to-person, face-to-face way. And let your word be the words of your heart, written in blood, written on fleshly tables, written by spirit and life, breathed from your lips. Oh, Lord, how wonderful it is that you're really a living God. Oh, David always sought the living God, and so do we. So speak to us today, living God, and may we hear your heart, and may we be moved to respond by our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Mark chapter 2. Starting in verse 18, and John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. And they came, John's disciples and the Pharisees, they came and said to Jesus, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, while the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom do not fast, do they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and then there's a worse tear. And no one puts new wine into an old wineskin. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. And that same account is in the Gospel of Matthew. I believe it's Matthew chapter, 9 and verse 14. So we're going now to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 14, it's the same account. Then the disciples of John came to Jesus, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results. Neither do men put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins will burst, and the wine will pour out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved. How wonderful! And how perfect for us today in the season that we're in, because here we have the disciples of John, and these are not the disciples of Jesus. They're disciples of the guy who was preparing the way for Jesus. And as soon as he identified the Lamb of God, as soon as he identified Jesus, he kind of wanted to decrease and let his disciples begin to follow Jesus, and because that was his purpose. So that these disciples that are still with John, they're fasting. And of course, that would be very much the ministry of John the Baptist, in the sense that he is preparing the way for the Lord to come, awaiting for the Lord to appear, crying out for repentance, from sins. And, you know, this is the whole essence of the ministry of John, is waiting for the bridegroom, preparing for the bridegroom, for the Lamb of God, who is the groom of the wife, as defined in the book of Revelation. It's the Lamb. He's the groom. And John is crying out and waiting and preparing and baptizing hundreds every day that he, the Son of God, might appear, the Lamb of God, the bridegroom. But he's not there. He's not there. He's not there until he's there. And hallelujah. But these men that are questioning Jesus with this particular question are like, why are we mourning? Why are we fasting? And then you guys are sitting there having this feast. And man, I mean, this is tough. And I'm sure there was something in their heart like, I would like to feast right now. I would like to feast. This is a lot more fun than not eating and mourning. You guys are probably, I could just see Jesus and his disciples laughing and feasting and fellowshipping. There's joy, there's communion, there's fullness of joy, there's fellowship face to face, there's the enlightenment of the eyes as they partake one from another of the fullness of the table that God has spread. You know, I mean, it's a feast. It's a celebration. It's oh, of course, we understand that spirit. And there's intimacy. There's the beauty of such a flow, that communion, that fellowship, that feast brings. And it's a very, in the nuance, the spirit, the essence of a gathering like that is of joy. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. He's there. His presence is there. He, the person, the bridegroom, the Lamb of God, he's there. He's there. And therefore, there's a feast. Because why? Because H-E, the M-A-N, the P-E-R-S-O-N, the living God, Jesus, is there in the flesh among them, present, abiding with them. There is a feast. Is there a feast because they had all the groceries they needed? No. There's a feast because he's there. Is there a feast because everyone's perfect? Heck no. These disciples were messed up. Capital M, capital E, capital S, S, E, D. They were messed up. Didn't matter. The bridegroom was among them. He was there. He was there. Were they where they needed to go? No. They were just in the Gospel of Mark, it's chapter 2. The journey's just begun. Barely even started. In fact, hasn't really started because Jesus hasn't even gone to the cross and died yet where they are able to get his life in them. It's just the beginnings. So no, they have no idea. There's nothing, as it were, formed yet. The seeds are going in. The reality has yet sprung forth and the fruit has not come. But he is there. He's there. The bridegroom is there, and these disciples of John, they're with John. They're with a messenger. They're with a third party. They're with tech support. They're on hold with tech support. How many people know that that is not a feast? That's a fasting. It's not the real life communion. They are socially distanced from the Son. They're talking about him with a messenger who hasn't really, you know, brought them into oneness with the real dude yet. It's just, ugh, there's mourning. It's a mourning. It's a fasting. It's an emptiness. And these disciples are probably feeling drawn to this group and the vibe they're giving off of joy and communion and wondering very basically why. Why do you guys feast and we fast? And I love Jesus' answer. This is the answer that came out of the heart of God. This is the true answer. It's not a good answer. It's not just a right answer. It's the answer, the real deal. This is what God's heart says. He says the attendance of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? How can we mourn when the Lamb of God is in the house? How can we mourn when the Lamb of God is breaking bread and pouring wine into our cup and saying, eat my flesh, drink my blood, fellowship with me, fill up on who I am, Look into my eyes, hear my voice, see my face, find my heart, know my ways, fill up on who I am. How can we mourn? And yet, someone might answer, having been asked that question, I mourn all the time. All the time. I feel, someone might could say, I feel more like one of the disciples of John the Baptist than I do like one of Jesus' disciples. And yet, we're all the disciples, more than disciples, the body of Jesus. We belong, blood bought with scars. We belong to Jesus. We're his. We're not John the Baptist's. We're not the ministry of repentance. We're not the predecessor and preacher that tells us he's a coming. Get ready. He's here. He's in the house. The Lamb is in the house. The bridegroom is among us. And he's spreading his table on the tables of our heart. The feast is being spread. And he is the feast. And he's in the house. And we are his house. And he is in the house. And we are not separate from him like John the Baptist's disciples felt, where there is a mourning and there is a crying out, come, Lord, come, where are you? I am me. I am in, and listen, here's the thing that I felt impressed on my heart. The whole emphasis of the ministry of John the Baptist on a certain front was repentance of sin. So what does that mean? That means that the focus was this repentance, a focus of my sins, a focus of me. I am in the house. My sins are in the house. I am what's on the table. I am what's being partaken of. I am the big I am in my house, and it's causing me to mourn, and there's absolutely no feasting going on, because if I ate what was on the table, it would make me sick because it's corrupt flesh, and no, this is not a happy day. This is not a fun house to live in. Why? Because H-E is not in the center. He may be downstairs locked in the basement, but he is not there. His presence, his face, his feast and his table. There's another emphasis. It's called me, my lack, my failures. All that's not Jesus in me that I need to repent of, that I need to constantly think about and rehearse and be absorbed with. But Jesus is saying, why would you go into that place? Why would you be of that discipleship of John the Baptist when I have come, when I am here? You may be as messed up as, not quite as messed up as, or even worse than the disciples that were with Jesus in that very moment when these men came up to Jesus and his disciples in Mark chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 9. But here's the thing. Doesn't matter how messed up we are. Better, the same, worse. Paul said, I've got a measurement that can reach even unto you, and it's not us, it's him. We're not measuring ourselves by ourselves. That's not wise. We're not comparing flesh to flesh to see which flesh is better, because all flesh is flesh, and it's corrupt. So we don't come on that basis, and we don't feast on that basis. We don't fellowship on that basis. We don't approach Passover on that basis. We come because we took a lamb into our house. God put his lamb in our house. The Father chose him, the firstborn son, the crucified son, and put him in our house. He's there. The bridegroom is among us. And the Holy Spirit has come and served him as a chamberlain would, the servant of all servants, the beauty of all beauty, and laid him and spreads him morning by morning, evening by evening. The servant, Holy Spirit, comes as a waiter, in a restaurant, if you will, like at a feast. And he takes fresh bread and puts it on our table. He pours wine into our cup. He takes the meat of the Lamb of God, and he cuts him, and he cooks him, and he spreads him on our plate, and he feeds us. And the Lamb himself is the feast, and he's there, his presence, his nature, his unveiled being as we partake. And Jesus says, how are you going to be mourning and fasting when I'm spread on the table of your heart like that? Who would have a ribeye steak cooked to perfection with a baked potato fully loaded and Western bread with butter and garlic salt on top of your plate? And maybe it's a piece of pie. I don't know what you like, but you just think of your favorite meal and then times it by a bazillion because Jesus is the best ever. And you go, oh, I think I'm going to fast tonight. You know why? Because I'm just a bad person. And that very feast in front of you was slaughtered to cover and atone for your sin and to bring you into oneness. And you're looking at it spread before you through the death of the Son, the giving of the Father, and the pouring forth of the Spirit. They've prepared a feast for you. And you're going to go, you know, I'm just going to fast this meal tonight because, hey, I'm a mess. I need to be real about that. And I'd rather just kind of, you know, go off in the corner and, you know, pout about how bad I am and just try to repent myself into glory. I mean, Jesus, I can just see him. If one of his disciples, Bartholomew, said, you know, Jesus, I'm kind of having a bad day. I really feel like I shouldn't eat tonight, you know, even though you've invited me to the feast and spread the table and here you are gathering me into your heart and fellowship. I'm going to go off in the corner there and I'm just going to pout it out. I'm just going to go into depression and self-loathing because, hey, I'm a realist and I'm a mess. I'm just going to start repenting. That's what I'm going to try to sew a few patches on this old garment, you know, and I'm just going to just focus on the old wineskin because, hey, you know, this is what I am. This is what I'll always be. Jesus is like, my Lord, get over here. Come on. Quit trying to fix up the old you. Quit trying to get that garment, you know, clean and sewed up. Quit trying to get that old wineskin to be partaking of my life. I got a new garment. It's my life. I'll cover you. My nature. I got a new wineskin. I'm going to bring you into oneness through my death. The old passed away. All things are made new. Come in to the new through the blood of the Lamb, through the flesh. Get it in you. Don't repent about the old and try to fix it up. Come unto me. Ho, all who are thirsty, come and drink. Isaiah 50 or something like that. All who are thirsty, come and drink. All who are hungry, come and eat. Come on. Come unto me. Come unto me. Now's not the time to mourn. Now's the time to feast. Now's not the time to be focused on our flesh. Now's the time to eat his flesh. Drink his blood. Get that lamb who's in the house, who's the bridegroom, who causes our heart to sing and dance and rejoice. Look in his eyes. Feast intimately. Find him. Know his heart. Be filled with his fullness and enter into the feast. And when the death angel comes, he's not going to find you in the corner crying over spilt milk, repenting over dead works. He's going to find you filled up with lamb. Entering into his spirit and nature, which is not a patch on an old wineskin trying to pretend to be holy and humble and self-giving. It's another life. It isn't you trying to be like Jesus, trying to get new wine into your old ways and imitate the Lamb. It's going to be the Lamb. New wine and a new wineskin. But now's the time to come, to feast, to fellowship, to be with him, to be with him, to be with him and forget about it. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the wonder of your heart, the way of your love, the season where you are with us as you were with the disciples to feed us who you are, your flesh, your blood, your crucified nature, the lamb that was slain, that we might take that blood and put it on our doorpost, but more importantly, fill the house, fill our heart with your nature, your life blood, your nature, your sacred lamb life. So that, Lord, we are changed when we leave the house. Something new has come forth. It's Christ in us, formed and flowing, not because we repented with John the Baptist's disciples and sat in a dark glum for sheltering in place, But we sat at the table of the Lord. We feasted on him. We had times of unspeakable joy, filled with glory. Times about being with the Lamb, it's time outside of time, eternal moments, redeeming temporal time and space. Lord, this is our faith. This is our heart cry. This is our focus. We're coming, Lord Jesus, moment by moment, minute by minute, day by day. We can't wait for the next moment to look in your eyes, to feast at your table, to fill up on your heart. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity, Lord. Yes, there is a plague on the land, but there is a feast in our hearts. And that's where we will abide. So we are with you, and we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.